pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Go.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I'm your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends. In the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman, Laird Jeff Bell.
Good afternoon. Good day.
Evening.
Day.
Howdy.
We've sprung the forward.
Ugh.
It's no longer a thing for me. It used to be such a thing, but now it's like I wake up, my clock. I have like a, my clock radio actually talks to National Weather Service somehow and through the radio, I think, and it just changes over.
Oh, you get the atomic clock.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
And then, of course, your cell phone changes automatically. I don't wear a watch. And so anything like in the kitchen, you know, if Michelle hasn't changed the stove, microwave, and analog clocks, then that kind of freaks you out. But
yeah, I still have to do that this morning for those clocks in my kitchen.
Yeah, yep. If you could tell Michelle to get over here and to change the clocks in my kitchen, I would really appreciate it.
Oh, wait, Michelle's going to do everybody's clocks? I love it.
Isn't that what he just said? I thought that's what he just said.
I think so.
I only say she does my clock. That's all. Just our clocks. That's all. Yeah, no, it's just weird. I didn't even feel it this morning. Normally I wake up and I'm like, oh, God. I could sleep another hour, and it's like, no, I feel fine. Weird.
Well, because of the fucking clock changing, I slept in finally.
Woo woo.
I know it doesn't count, but it, according to my watch, it does.
It doesn't count.
I'm just excited because now my dogs will start begging for food at the correct time in the evening again.
There you go.
There you go.
We've spent the last 6 months yelling at the dog for an hour.
No, it's time for evening meal. My stomach is empty.
Right, right.
Yep. I'm just happy for another hour of daylight outside in the evenings when I'm available to get up and go outside, you know, when I'm not at work or whatever. So, though I do hate the 7 o'clock drive home with the sun right in your face.
Oh, yeah,
I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Especially heading down that hill from where you work.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yep. Heading west down the hill. Jesus Christ. So what else has been going on apart from the thing that happens every year?
Nothing. I think I had a really boring week. Like, mm-hmm. It was just boring. There's nothing. It's just boring.
You finally went to see a play that I also went to see.
I did get to go see Bonnie and Clyde up at Pioneer Theater Company here in Salt Lake City, and it was really cute.
Mm-hmm.
It was really well done. I loved the set, the way their set was designed. They had, this is really easy to describe in an audio podcast, but they had like a movie theater marquee with the different locations, and that way they would backlight the different locations. So what, like it was the woods, it was, what else did they have? The sheriff's office, the beauty salon, whatever. I don't know. It was just really well done.
I thought it was brilliant because sometimes you have to like put a listing of all the scenes and their locations in the program. And they're like, nah, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
That for me with Pioneer, that's the thing. It's like their set and their lighting is their sets and their lighting is always top notch.
Right.
Their sound, you know, could use a little help sometimes. And apart from that, I mean, I did enjoy. I saw a second rehearsal or second dress. Or first dress.
Oh, nice.
I don't know how it works. I think if we saw the first dress rehearsal and then the next, then they had another dress rehearsal the next night, and then they had the performance.
Then they had opening night.
Yeah. Nice. And it was, and I mean, I had produced a show a while ago. We were the production company that brought Bonnie and Clyde to Utah after it had closed on Broadway. And, so it brought back a lot of fond memories.
I bet.
I can't say which one was better because they each had their own things going on, but yeah, it was more for me. It was nostalgia. I was like, I remember this moment. I remember this song, you know? Yeah. It was cool. It was a fun show.
Yeah. For sure.
How about you, Hefe?
Nothing. Same as last week.
Well, I did get rehired on a 30-day extension, so we'll see how long. We'll see if that works out in getting me back to work full-time. We'll see. I mean, I'm back to work full-time for 30 days, but after 30 days, I don't know what'll happen. I sold a bunch of my comics. Well, I wouldn't say a bunch. If a bunch would mean I actually have room in this office again. I sold a number of my key comics, cause that was like the first batch. We just sort of went over my keys being comics that are already of value.
Right.
Some I've had forever. And I made a pretty decent amount of money. I know the store will make even more, but because they got to make a profit. But I don't care. I got some comics out of my office. We're going to start doing some bulk removals. And there was also talk of me doing a yard sale where I'd sell everything that I don't want for $1 a book. Because that would at least clear out a lot of this stuff and make me a decent amount of money. You got to advertise that though, because you know, everybody will descend who wants comic books. So that'll be fine for me. I just want to get rid of these damn things. So I have room for the ones I'm buying now. That's the whole thing. It's like, I have a huge stack of books that I've been buying. And it's like, I now have a stack, all pretty much a short box level stack of books that they've completed their run or their arc. And I just need to put them. I need to put them away, which means I got to go through all these boxes and reorder them and restructure them. And I'm like, just get rid of all these, and I don't have to worry about it. And it's crazy when you're going through and putting comics away, and you're like finding the right alphabetical spot, and you're going through, and you're like, God, why did I buy that one? Oh, that was a terrible book, you know, all that kind of thing. Yeah.
True.
So yeah, that'll be good. If I can get rid of these things, that's sort of my modus operandi right now, is I've been wanting to get rid of them. And thankfully Roger from the Nerd Store came over to help me get started, and he'll be back next week to help me get even further along.
All right. Yep. I look forward to hearing your progress.
Yep. I want to get this shelf freed up. It's literally, I mean, this is a 3x6 industrial shelf. You know, the kind you get Costco or something. And it's top to bottom covered in comic book boxes. And I still have crates that I have to put other comic book boxes. I have to put other comic books in because I just don't have room on the shelf anymore. I don't have any more room for more boxes on that shelf. It's like, yeah, time to go. Time to get rid of it all. All right. Well, on those exciting notes, let's dive into some news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
Dragon Ball creator Akira Toriyama has passed away at the age of 68. The manga series started in 1984, turned into a huge anime series, video games, and even some movies. Since 1984, international million seller, also turned into the hugely popular franchise, died of a blood clot in his brain. And it was announced by his production office, which makes more sense than a lot of people that do reporting for dead folk.
I know.
At least this was where he worked at the time.
Still, work reported his death. That's the other side of it. Work reported his death. Yes. Yeah.
At least they noticed.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean...
The Office thanked his fans for their support of his creative activities over the 45 years, saying, we hope that Akira Toriyama's unique world of creation continues to be loved by everyone for a long time to come.
The fandom for Dragon Ball Z, which was the anime that came from his manga, Dragon Ball, is as big and as devoted as the Star Trek fandom, the Star Wars fandom. I mean, they're out there, and I'm sure we have plenty of listeners who were big fans of the Dragon Ball and Akira Toriyama. So, yeah.
Steve Lawrence, Grammy-winning singer and partner of, what is it, Idie Gourmet?
Edie.
Edie? Is that Edie?
You never heard of Steve and Edie?
See, I have. I just didn't know how to tell you to fucking spell it.
Yeah.
It's like she's from Utah.
This is one half of Steve and Edie.
Yeah. Anyway, Grammy and Emmy award-winning performer who dazzled as a nightclub and concert goer with his late wife, Edie, died Thursday from complications due to Alzheimer's disease. He was 88. And, oh my God, oh, it was reported by a family member. My dad was the best boss ever. Oh, I'm just kidding. I made that up. I totally made that up. My dad was an inspiration to many people, but to me, he was just this charming, handsome, hysterically funny guy who sang a lot. Sometimes alone, sometimes with his insanely talented wife. This is from his son, David. David continued, I'm so lucky to have had him as a father and so proud to be his son. My hope is that his contributions to the entertainment industry will be remembered for many years to come.
Yeah. The first one where work didn't report him. Awesome.
Yeah. I'll bet he was part of the production team. Mark Dodson, Star Wars and Gremlins voiceover artist, has passed away at the very young age of 64. He was the voice actor for Salacious Crumb in Return of the Jedi.
He had to have been really young.
And
when he did Salacious Crumb,
he was Mogwai.
Bright light
in the Gremlins.
Yeah. Aww.
Yeah.
He was Gizmo. Oh, yeah, he was.
Yeah. Dodson died Saturday. His agent confirmed work. Hours before he was slated to appear at a fan event in Indianapolis.
Oh, that's sad.
which is why the agent needed to notify everybody.
Oh yeah. Dodson's daughter, Ciara, said that he suffered a massive heart attack in his sleep.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, what are you gonna do? But yeah, he apparently had a very high and squeaky voice, because Salacious Crumb, for those of you that don't know, was that weird little pointy-eared critter that sat by Jabba's tail.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, that was...
In the first episode of The Mandalorian, we saw, you know, his species being roasted and, you know, about to be killed and roasted as part of street food, the street vendor.
Right.
I laughed so hard because I hated Salacious Crumb, you know, when he first appeared. I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah, the article calls him Salacious Crumb a shrill monkey lizard.
Yes.
Okay. Tastes like chicken. Gina Carano addresses, quote, important, end quote, Disney lawsuit, compares Elon Musk, and this is where I really lose the thread of this article.
Yes.
To Batman.
Whoa! Hashtag not my Batman.
Yeah.
Hashtag the wrong Batman. Yeah. This is Owlman from Earth 3, you know, the the dark Thomas Wayne, basically.
Anyway, for those of you that don't know, she's suing Disney because they didn't renew her contract. Whatever.
Whatever.
Because she's anti-Semitic.
Right.
And so she's suing them because they like Jews. I think. I'm pretty sure. I mean, that's right.
I think so.
Yeah, Disney's all, we're okay with the Jews. And she's like, I'm suing and I'm using Elon money to do it. Because we're going to stand over here in anti-Semitic land and sue the shit off of anybody that doesn't think the way that we think. Because money is privilege, bitches. Well, oh, I read that quote wrong. I'm sorry. They want to see the right thing done by me, Carino said of Musk and his team funding his lawsuit. I'm happy with that. People are actually going to have to dig in and take my situation seriously. They're going to have to understand, I don't like the Jews. No, I'm sorry. I read that wrong again. When they're looking through all of this, what their company was doing, and by looking through that, they're going to have to make adjustments so that it's going to make it that much harder for it to happen to the next person who hates the Jews. And that's why, oh, fuck, I did that again. It's weird. It's like the subtext is just jumping out at me. She says a lot of people, billionaires, put their money wherever they want it. But to put your money into defending people that have been done wrong is such a noble cause. It's like Elon Musk is some kind of Adolf. Sorry, fuck, Batman. Fuck. Every time with this article. But that.
Yeah.
Is it for the news?
For the news. We will take a break, and when we come back, we will be talking moving pictures.
Hail Elon Musk, yes.
All hail.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and
sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner?
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Tell me. There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust.
See, the thing
the picture.
Is the only thing you can even get near anti-Semitic with Batman is the fact that we know that he's circumcised.
Yeah, that's true.
We do. I didn't know that. That's news to me, friends.
In the Batman, what was it?
I don't remember the name of the book.
Madness? It was no.
It was a Black Label book.
Oh, Batman Damned.
Yeah, Batman
it was
Damned.
Batman Damned, and in the first one, the original artist basically painted Batman's dick. And then they corrected it by painting over it a little bit. The problem was is when they did the color correction for the first book, the penis, the Batwang was there. I have the issue. I have seen Batman's penis. And I assure you that it is as pro-Semitic as can possibly be.
Oh, Cheetah Carano, nobody cares.
Batman's not an anteater.
Nope. He is not.
No.
He was a child of the 50s when, and 50s and 60s when everybody got...
And 70s. Yeah. According to my penis.
In the 50s, they didn't even fucking ask. They didn't ask the parents. They just, you get your baby, you're like, oh, he's circumcised.
Cut off the tip of his penis.
Yep. Anyway. By the 60s, they started asking, and then by the 70s and 80s, they were asking full on and everything, yeah.
Yeah, but the way they were asking was like, do you want a circumcision or are you a terrible parent?
Yeah.
It's true.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, look, not to beat a dead horse, as it were, but they say that if you leave Batman's cowl on, that it's more sensitive. I don't need that.
Yeah, you don't need more sensitive.
It's fine. No frets. Anything that can build a little stamina, let's go for that. Come on, Bruce, take off your cowl, sir. Yes, I did just compare foreskin to Batman's mask. Yes, I did. And I would do it again. I'm sorry. I took over. Get to your show. Go. You talk. Your turn.
Oh,
I'm
my
sorry.
God. What? I mean, I don't even know how to ask. What have you been watching?
Nothing.
We
had
the moving pictures this week. Oh, my God.
Well, a lot of pornography, but that's just every week.
Clearly,
I don't talk about
that. Yeah, that's just every week.
Yeah, I got one screen with Pornhub Premium and one screen with Adam West's Batman from 66.
There you go.
Na 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 na. Musk Man.
Oh Lord! All right.
All right, Joss. What have you been watching in moving pictures?
This week I watched my work at home streaming day. So I work from home every Tuesday, and I tend to just put something on to while I work, right? And this week I started with the Barbie movie because I love the Barbie movie. It is just delightful, in my opinion. And then Amazon, I watched it on Amazon, and it brings up like other shows that this actor has been in. And it occurred to me, I never saw I, Tonya back in the day. Back in 2017, when I, Tonya came out, I did not see it. I don't know why. But
I, Tonya is that old?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Number one, yes, it is. But number two, it's delightful. I mean, it's got Margot Robbie. It's got Sebastian Stan. It has Alice and Janney. Holy crap. I did not realize what a shit show Tonya Harding grew up in. I had no idea. But wow, it was a really good movie. I'm really happy that I actually sat down and watched it because it was really well done and really good. So if you haven't seen I, Tonya, see that. But then I've also been watching, I'm almost done with Avatar The Last Airbender on Netflix, that live action version. Yep. And I'm blown away. This is exactly what we wanted out of the movie that we didn't get from M. Night Shyamalan back in the day.
Yeah,
Sokka is delightfully clueless and funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Aang is just a little kid still, just like he was. I'm loving this show. I think I only have one more episode to watch, and it's been really, really good. So, but those are kind of the highlights of what I watched. Jeff, anything you want to talk about besides Pornhub and Batman?
That was you guys talking about that. All I was doing was reading the news.
Oh, yeah, you were.
Yeah.
I'm finally getting around to Stranger Things.
Yes.
I think we're about halfway through season 3, I believe, and I'm a little fatigued. I got a little monster fatigue. I need to take a little break and then come back to it. Should have gone to Maine. That's all I'm saying. I don't know if you've noticed it. My one comment on Stranger Things is basically, of course it happened in the 80s. Our parents didn't give a shit. So you could disappear and fight evil monsters in the middle of the night, and your parents are like, where's so-and-so? What's his name? Oh, he must be sleeping over at his friend's. Yeah, I guess he must be. Let's go to bed and continue with our lives while our children are out saving the world.
Right.
You know, from fucking Paul Reiser. Whatever.
Jesus. You'll get to season... You haven't gotten to season 2 yet. I won't spoil it. But there's a line the father has that you will laugh your ass off because it is our parents from the 80s.
If it isn't season 2, I've seen it. What is it?
Yeah.
Oh, where the father says... The kid comes to the door looking for the kids, and he's like, don't you know my children don't live here anymore?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, yep, that's parents of the 80s right there.
Yeah, I'm really, really enjoying David Harbour. Winona Ryder calmed the fuck down after season 1 and has actually been acting, and that's been nice. I like the kids. All this has done is make the sexualization of Millie Bobby Brown even more fucking disturbing to me.
Even more awkward?
Right. Yeah, because now I'm feeling even more overprotective because she's just a little bald kid. You know?
Right.
But no, like I said, I'm enjoying it. What I have right now is it's just like, that's a lot to binge 3 seasons. So I'm just going to stop for a week and I'll come back to it next week.
Good plan.
Other than that, Game Changer. I'm just fucking loving this show over at dropout.tv. If you're not there yet, I don't know what you're missing. There's six seasons of this thing. It's brilliant. And there's multiple seasons of other brilliant content. Sam Reich, son of Robert, just one little funny fucker. He's very short. He's a very short guy.
Well, so is Robert. So.
Yeah. Well, he's much taller than his dad. You know, hey, little victories, you know what I mean? And then, yeah, just watch a little soccer. I watched two USA women's games. The first one, that weird fucking full contact boxing match they had with Colombia. What a shit show that one was. man, Colombia was just, they were there to, it was stabby. It was like the Valley Fair Mall in the 80s. That's what this game was like. And then again, the women's national team against Canada, where they were basically playing in a puddle. You couldn't kick the ball. You couldn't run. It was just, I mean, there was standing fucking water on the pitch. It was reflecting the stadium lights. It was so deep. And the match judge was like, no, they play it anyway. It was embarrassing for both teams. And yet, you know, we still managed to. So USA 3-1 or 3-0, I think.
Wow.
It was 3-0 against Canada, because Canada, apparently, once the geese have headed south for the winter, they have no stay. I know, it's not as funny as my dick material today, but I'm doing what I can with it, okay?
Do what you can with it.
Yeah.
Kind of like a dick. Do what you can with it.
Yeah, less and less as I get older. How about you, sir? What was on your TV this week?
So we finished up Avatar, after watching the first episode. We watched the whole thing. I would say the biggest issue we had with it was it episode 3, where they just started like dropping characters in from other episodes from the animated series just so we could see them.
Right.
That was how I started to feel, especially when we got to the people singing in the cave. Which, I fucking love that. That's funny as hell to me. But I was like, you know, you really didn't need to do that.
Right.
I know you wanted to do a thing and everything, but
it's fan service.
I could have lived without seeing those characters again, to be honest. That was all. And then the when they get to the Northern Water Tribe, the guy playing... the master waterbender is the bad guy from Longmire.
Oh.
What's Martinez, the Native American bad guy, the guy who owned all the casinos, Jeff.
Yeah.
And they've shaved his head back and then put a, you know, then cause he was balding in the animated series. So they made him balding and everything. I thought it was, so for a minute I was like, is that the other guy from Longmire? Who's in everything right now. Cause he was Echo's dad in Echo and all that stuff. But, for a minute I was like, I couldn't quite catch it. And then after a minute I was like, wait, no, he's the bad guy. He's got the funny little goatee and stuff. Yeah. Aside from the blatant fan service that it kind of turned me off. Everything else was so perfect. I was like, I don't have a problem with this show. I'm glad it'll keep going, and I'm glad to see that it's that solid of a show that they Shyamalan should take notes on this. Resident Alien. What's better than one crazy alien? Two. That's all there is to it. That's what I'll say.
Oh.
Two crazy aliens who are sexually attracted to each other, so that's even more fun.
It's fun.
Yep. And oh my god, just all the way through it. Been watching After Midnight religiously. If you're not watching it, if you have Paramount Plus, you can watch it on Paramount Plus. That's how I do it. I don't stay up after midnight unless I can't sleep.
12:37.
So what's that?
It's on at 12:37.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't, yeah. Yeah. That episode. At first, I was like, "Okay, I like the joke. It's kind of funny because the comedian just kept saying, if it says the at sign, and I'm confused as to when we are, but he would not let it go, and I'm like, you've carried the bit too far. Shut the fuck up, dude. And yeah, And even what's her name? The host was like, Taylor, the host, she was like, this is too much. Let's take points away from him. She's just pissing her off.
Nobody has said Hardwick's name yet.
I know.
That was the episode I thought it was finally going to happen when somebody fucking mentioned Hardwick.
Even Ron Funches didn't say Hardwick's name.
No, but he brought his belt.
He brought his belt. I like the line. Did you have that belt made? Of course I did.
So anyway, throw him back really quick. Jacob Nighthorse on Longmire was played by A. Martinez.
Yes.
Not V. Martinez, A. Martinez.
A. Martinez. That's
and then Matthias was played by Zahn McLernan.
Mm-hmm.
Zahn McLernan is the guy that you were. He was Echo's dad.
Echo's dad, and he's in Reservation Dogs. Like I said, he's showing up in everything that has Native Americans. So I wouldn't have been surprised to see him in Avatar. But yeah, it was fun to see A. Martinez. We got some Tracker in, enjoying that. Finished the first novel, so I can now see the differences that they've added to the show, which I think make it a little more interesting. Doesn't necessarily change the story. I watched State of the Union, but that's more of a left show thing. And then we finally sat down to watch Aquaman: The Lost Kingdom.
Oh, I still haven't watched that.
Are you okay? I'm sorry.
That's probably why I haven't watched it. Thank you for that reminder.
Number one, it still had so much better special effects than the Flash movie did.
Low bar.
I was like, oh my God, what the fuck, DC? like all of it, it's practically a green screen movie, right? And the whole time I'm just like, this is so much better, because I know they've got to do that thing like they did in the Marvels, where they had to like tie their hair up and put funny little things on it so they could do the wavy hair underwater, particularly for Momoa, and it looked great, it looked real. And I'm like, compared to those fucking babies in the Flash movie and that stupid going back in time ball effect, oh my God, this was so much better.
And keep in mind, dude, the Flash sat on a shelf for almost 2 years.
Yeah,
when they could have been working on fucking VFX. good enough. I washed my hands of it.
Yeah. The canteen, there's a cantina scene. We'll just call it that. Apart from Martin Short, I didn't care for it. Because I was like, you've gone too far with the weird fish people at this point. Otherwise, no. I still didn't like it. I think because I don't like bro Aquaman. You know? When they'd cast Momoa, I was looking forward to more of angry Aquaman.
Yeah.
Like we saw in the Justice League animated series and stuff. I was kind of looking forward to that. And instead I've gotten bro Aquaman, and I'm not into him. I'm just not into it. And I know, I mean, for that, I don't want to yuck anybody's yum, because I know there are a lot of people who think it's awesome.
True.
And honestly, from beginning to end, I really can't find, apart from that weird little cantina scene, I'm like, that song was going through my head when they went into that little ship graveyard. Apart from that, end to end, I can't say it's a bad movie. I'm just not into bro Aquaman. So to me, I never felt a threat because of it, I think. You know what I mean? I felt a bigger threat in the first one when he was fighting than I felt in this one. And maybe that was the other side of it. It just didn't feel, I don't know. Did you ever see the Avengers with Uma Thurman and Ralph Fiennes taking on the old 60s Avengers TV series?
Yes.
End to end, no problem with the movie. Never once felt like they were in actual danger.
Really? Not from Sean Connery's teddy bears?
Not even Sean Connery's teddy bears. I'm like, end to end, I'm like, okay, you guys made a good movie. I mean, there's no problem with the movie. But, yeah. Yeah, I just never felt like they were ever in any actual danger. And so therefore, as a thriller, as a spy thriller, there was no thrill. I was just like, I was bored the whole time. And I felt the same way with Aquaman and The Lost Kingdom. I was just kind of bored the whole time. So, yeah. Though I liked Orm a lot. And I liked the shrimp of the land scene.
Yeah.
That made me laugh.
Yeah, that was funny.
That made me laugh. And then following it up with a post credits joke was pretty funny too. So yeah, I liked it. In the end, I'd say, you know, if you're into Momoa as Aquaman and you like that whole, and you like the first movie, I think you'll like this one.
I walked out of that movie not mad. That's as good as I can give it. I was not mad.
That's kind of how I rank DC movies. Like, is on my anger level when I leave. Mm-hmm. Like, if it made me really angry. Or that was okay. Now, Wonder Woman being the top tier of actually that was really, really good, and maybe they're turning their movies around. But then they did Wonder Woman 1984 and
creepy.
I knew it was falling apart at that point.
Such a creepy movie.
I know, right? It was on. I went to my buddy's bar for dinner before we went to the play, and it happened to be up on the TV. So it's fresh on my mind right now. So.
I think for that one, it was like the end piece for the Flash movie that made Jeff delighted. The end piece of Wonder Woman 1984 made me very delighted. So I kind of forgive the creepy part of it. And the rest, I'm just like, it's more of a meh movie for me. Like this Lost Kingdom was, it's kind of meh. And, you know, I wasn't angry like I was with The Flash. Yeah. And I didn't waste my money on The Flash. I waited till it came to Max.
Right, same.
just like Aquaman. I like waited for it to come to Max. And I'm like, yeah, I would have been angry. I would have been enraged had I gone to the theaters to see Flash. So that's it. That's what I watched this week. Let's dive into some movie picture news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Sony's new Karate Kid movie recruits Ming-Na Wen. I hope this means she got cast in a good movie and not in some garbage piece of shit.
Yep.
So yeah, she'll have a role in it. That's the story. Moving on. I mean, there's a lot in here, but Marvel fans will recognize Ming-Na Wen. Shut up!
Who cares?
Shut up!
They speculate that she might be the mother, which makes it interesting if the kid in one of these movies is Asian. That makes it interesting. Because now we've done white, black, and Asian at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, maybe it is an Asian mother and an Asian kid that he gets taught how to do, you know, MMA by some white Scottish guy.
That'd be funny.
Oh, you kick him in the face. Now he's down. You stomp on him. Jesus Christ, boy. What is this, you think? Some sort of martial art? Rust Armor found guilty of involuntary manslaughter and fatal shooting by Alec Baldwin. A jury has convicted movie weapons supervisor Hannah Gutierrez-Reed in the fatal shooting of cinematographer Halnya Hutchins during rehearsal. This one's tough.
It is.
Who
it's
brought
really
the bullet?
Tough.
I mean, that as far as I'm concerned, from what I've watched on this, and you know, how'd the bullet get on set? Nobody ever answered that.
Oh, it's right. In there. It's further down in that article. They kind of go down all the allegations, and apparently she brought live ammunition to the set. And it had been just sitting there. And why it got loaded in the gun, I don't know. It does get loaded in the gun. It gets loaded in the gun when they need to do close-ups. They don't have gunpowder in them when they do those. They're dummy bullets. But when you have a six-shooter and you're pointing it at a camera, you've got to see the little round heads of the bullets.
Yeah.
In the barrel. Because you can see the barrel, you know, the
chambers.
The chamber, whatever it's called. You can see that. And I'm sure there's a technical term for a revolver, and I can't remember what it is, but for revolvers, bullet holder. But yeah, you can see them. You can see the bullets. And if you don't do that, it looks so obvious. It looks like the gun is unloaded. It looks empty. So that's what happened on the set of The Crow, was they had loaded it with dummy bullets, went and did just a regular dump disload or unload, and didn't realize that the shell... the bullet for one of them got lodged in, didn't fall out. It got lodged in the barrel. And so when they reloaded it with the blanks so they could shoot it, it actually shot a bullet and hit Brandon Lee, and killed it. So that one was neglect because they'd actually dismissed the armor, two days before, told him, we don't need you anymore.
Oh, that's handy.
Our props team can handle this. There wasn't a, I don't know that there was a wrongful death lawsuit. I think the Lee family just sort of took it in stride. But in this one, there was definitely a lot of negligence. When you read through that stuff, they go back over the allegations, things that basically she was found guilty for. And I'm like, that's a lot of negligence when it comes to weapons handling on a movie set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was a breaking story when I posted it, and it has been rewritten since. So thank you for actually having read it far more recently than I have.
Mm-hmm.
Avatar The Last Airbender has been renewed at Netflix for two more seasons, but only two more seasons.
I'm okay with that.
There were only three seasons of Avatar The Last Airbender, right. So yeah.
Yeah, anyway, that's that article. The rest of it's just long. MonsterVerse movies will be uniting at a new streaming home ahead of the new Godzilla Kong debut. For the month of March, more than 50 new movies have been added for subscribers to Max for you to stream.
Wow.
They happen to include all four feature films that are part of the MonsterVerse. That includes the 10-year-old movie that kicked off the franchise, Godzilla from 2014. Mm-hmm. Kong Skull Island, Godzilla King of the Monsters, and Godzilla versus Kong. So those will be all there for March for you, gang.
Two arguments with that article. One, that's where they've been for a while now, is on Max, so it's not exactly a new streaming service for them. And two, you're missing part of the MonsterVerse because Apple's not giving up their monster series anytime soon, but you know, I'm putting it on Max, but yeah, because that's all ties into the MonsterVerse. Those are the same monsters.
Yep. Anyway, yeah, new home for the monster stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Dune Messiah gets a promising update. Dune 2 has been doing pretty well in the box office. I don't know if I told you guys this or not. I think I saw Dune about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
But I have no memory of it unless I'm watching a clip when I go, I've seen that. But otherwise, I have no recall of the movie at all. None. I have no idea what's going on. It could just be I'm tired. Could just be it's been pretty stressful for the last couple of months. But what I think it is I think I fell asleep.
That's possible.
And I'm remembering dialogue that I wasn't quite under for.
That could be.
One of the reviews that I saw that made me want to see this movie makes the first one worth it.
Oh,
well, it would, because the first one was just a giant prequel. You know? It's the first half of the book, and on it, and Angus went and saw it, and he was talking about how much he loved this second movie, how much better it was. I'm like, well, you got to remember. The first movie was just the first half of Frank Herbert's book, which was all set up. They end the movie with them finally getting to the Fremen, which is when the action starts. So, there were some fun moments in the first one that I remember well. Like when, he walks up to Duncan Idaho, played by Jason Momoa, and says, yeah, my combat training is going really well. And Momoa feels his arm and says, keep working. and then there was another one where they land on Arrakis, and Oscar Isaacs and Josh Brolin are standing there as Duke Leto and Gurney. And he says, "Smile, Gurney." He just says, "I am smiling." I'm like, that's going to be my line from now on. Every time somebody tells me to smile in a photo, I am smiling.
Nice.
Yep. So no, it was, I thought it was a fine, you know, again, it's the first half of the book. And that was it. I need to go see this one because I'm like, no, I really liked it. I want to see the second half now.
Yeah. I just, my bigger worry is if I watch the first one and it is that I just didn't like it. Because apparently it's a long one. But yeah, so yeah, it looks like Dune Messiah might get greenlit.
Because
the second movie's doing very well. Okay, whatever news this week. Picard season 2 was rewritten after Paramount deemed it too Star Trek.
But, huh?
Yeah, think about it. Go back to season 2. It wasn't all that Trekkie. It really wasn't. It was just
it's a Star Trek show.
Yep.
Like, I don't know how you can be too much of what you actually are. But okay.
Yeah.
You do it. You do you, boo.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Terry Metalis said the show was immediately under pressure to bring costs down after an expensive first season. Metalis suggested they could take a page out of Star Trek IV and incorporate time travel to bring the characters to modern day, which would save a lot of money for production. His other thought was to bring back Q. He was so linked into the character of Jean-Luc Picard, Metalis says both of those ideas were immediately adopted, and this was all day one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other big challenge for season 2 was shooting under the initial COVID-era production guidelines, just when the industry was starting back up to work in 2021. On top of that, it was decided to film seasons 2 and 3 back-to-back. During the extended shoot, production was shut down for a week due to 50 members of the production testing positive for COVID-19. So, but yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense. And I liked season 2, and I like Star Trek 4.
Mm-hmm.
You and I were talking about that at the shop the other day.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
It's just, it's a good movie. That's all. And season 2 was good. I liked it. Was it as good as season 3? No.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't. But it was good. So, but yeah, I think it's funny. Paramount's like, oh, this is way too Star Trek-y. I like it. Anyway, that's it for the news, gang.
All right. We'll take a little break. And when we come back, we're talking comics.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
So, Batwangs and other things aside, let's find out what we've got for some comic book news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
New G.I. Joe miniseries, Scarlet and Destro, coming from Skybound Image and Hasbro. That's it. Red Hot writer Kelly Thompson.
Ooh, we like her.
Yeah.
And artist Marco Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
Introducing some of the most anticipated characters to join the Energon universe in ways you'll never expect in Scarlet Number 1. Launching June 5th, 2024. I'm not going to read the... I'll read this instead. I'm fortunate that thanks to my job, I often get to dig into characters and worlds that I've loved for a long time, said Kelly Thompson, friend of the show. But G.I. Joe Scarlet is truly one of my first geek loves as a kid. I'm absolutely thrilled to have a hand in building her for this new, incredibly cool and rich universe at Skybound. Marco Ferrari, I'm very excited to join the Scarlet team to use every tool in my toolbox to bring her to life in this new series. I can't wait for everyone to dive into Scarlet's mission with us. And then Dan Waters, and artist Andre Bresson. They're going to change the balance of terror in the Underdawn universe forever in Destro number one, launching June 19th, 2024. Dan Waters.
Mm-hmm.
I remember he wrote Loki. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Much about him, but he says, and I quote, "I'm incredibly excited to bring Destro to life with Andre. This is going to be visceral, explosive thriller in which he, Destro, isn't very nice to anyone at all. Everything you'd want from your favorite arms trafficker. Or amoral. Jesus Christ, Bell. I'm not even on anything. I'm just still
sad.
Thinking about Bruce Wayne's foreskin. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin, number one, sold out. And we'll be getting a second printing in a non-standard size. You fuckers, you did it again. You have to custom cut magazine bags and boards to make a bag of board that'll fit this fucking comic. And the problem is that the interior of the comic is fucking golden. It's wonderful, you know, but on the outside, it's too big for us, for short boxes, long boxes, you know. It'll go in a graded box. It'll go in a magazine box. But even in the magazine box, it's going to slide side to side because it's too thin.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck, IDW? Jesus Christ. Why'd you do this? All we did was fucking bitch and bitch and bitch for the first series, and you did the same goddamn thing again. Ugh. Anyway, it sold really well, and they're making more.
Dear IDW, please, when you're going to release books that are not standard size, release bags and boards with them.
Okay,
just pre-bag and board every one of them and send them out to the retailers. Because even collectors, we're like, fuck, what am I supposed to do with this? Because a lot of times you'll go buy them at a shop and the shop won't bother to put them in anything. So now you've got a raw comic that you've got to figure out, how do I protect this, you know?
And protection is super important, kids.
Yes, it is.
Have you seen the crowds of people outside of Planned Parenthood? You don't want to deal with that. Protect your comic books. My Adventures with Superman comic will bridge the gap between the show's seasons. I like when cartoons get a chance to do this, where they have a little in between, or any TV show that does a comic that happens in between. You know, yeah. This and that. It's fun. It keeps you interested in the off season. But the animated exploits of the Man of Steel are getting a comic book expansion. DC's announced the new tie-in comic for My Adventures with Superman, the Adult Swim series that follows a young trio of Clark Kent Superman, Lois Lane, and Jimmy Olsen, as they investigate mysteries and crime in Metropolis. The new season is written by series producer Josie Campbell and illustrated by Pablo M. Collar. Serves to bridge the gap between the end of the show's first season and the upcoming beginning of its second.
That sentence there was very important, or the preceding sentence. It's written by the series producer, so it is in canon. It's not something that will be ignored later because the comic book company put it out and we're not going to care. The series producer wrote this as the in-between stuff, so it's actually in canon. So if you're like me, and I know I am, and you're a fan of the My Adventures with Superman, it's worth picking up because it gives you more story. That's part of the overall story.
I like more story, especially when it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's it for the news.
All right. Well, so what have you guys been reading this week, Jess?
I finally got around to organizing what I have so far for Gang War. I organized my stack in the order to be read. So I read The Amazing Spider-Man number 37 and 38. And then Miles Morales Spider-Man number 12. And seeing as I am not a current active reader of either of those titles, I was a little lost. Thankfully, Spider-Man comics are pretty easy to figure out if you can get there. And I got there. And they didn't really, there was barely much of any tie into Kate Moore in either of them. So I'm going to diligently continue through my stack and see what I can do. Miles Morales was paired up with Blade. They're fighting the vampires. You know, it was interesting.
That was sort of the prelude to gang war. It's like they end the adventure fighting the vampires, and all of a sudden gang war breaks out around them. So yeah,
essentially, yeah. And it was interesting because the Miles Morales was like a part two of a storyline. I'm like, oh, I have no idea where I'm at here, but I bet I'll figure it out. So I did. But I'm going to keep reading through that stack. I'm going to try and get through a bunch of it this week, and I'll come back with more gang war news next week, guys. Okay. How about you, Jeff? What'd you read this week?
Nothing. I didn't have time between, you know, just doing whatever I can to get home as quick as I can every day. I just didn't have time to read. We got shit going on at the house.
Ah, fair.
Yep. What about you, sir?
So for me this week, picked up and read The Batman, Bat-Man, first Kinnegut, magazine size, because it's DC Black Label, I guess, and because fuck me, that's why. But other than that, holy shit, what a book. Actually, this is one of the ones where I'm like, yeah, thank you for doing this in magazine size. I really want to look at this art. I want to study it. It is beautiful, just gorgeous art all the way through. There are historical figures. Basically, Gotham, because we all know Gotham is a nickname for New York City. And here we have, they've just gone ahead and said that. They haven't said the words New York City, but as far as I'm concerned, when you see the Rabbi Cohen, who is famous in New York City, and a couple of other characters that are famous in New York City, I'm like, oh, so this takes place in New York, which was the original intention of the book. So good. So fucking good. Just crazy stuff. I love it. I picked up Ms. Marvel, The Mutant Menace, number one, by Iman Vellani. Okay. I am so happy that Iman Vellani is a big fan, because they have a character show up I haven't seen since the 80s. Show up in the end of this first book, and I haven't seen this character since the 80s, and I was excited by it. I could hear Iman Vellani's voice when Kamala got excited by it, and I was like, I fucking love this. This is awesome. So yeah, really well done. And then finally, the Spectacular Spider-Men, featuring Peter and Miles getting together for a week. They're trying to do a monthly, let's just hang out as bros kind of thing at a coffee shop. Here's the good stuff. All the characters from Ultimate Spider-Man, when it was Peter Parker, are starting to show up. A couple of the characters from Ultimate Spider-Man, when it was Peter Parker, are showing up in this book.
Oh.
As people who work at the coffee shop they go to at Empire State University. We see a character we haven't seen since, I would have to say before Agent Venom, because it was Flash Thompson's ex-wife, Shoshan Wynn. And she shows up in that. There's another character from the Miles Morales, Ultimate Universe Miles Morales, who shows up. So there's it's basically a lot of fan service all the way through. There's this great line where Peter's trying to convince Miles to is talking to Miles about doing the hookup. He goes, and you know, we could share quips. I mean, if you've got a killer zinger and I say it in Manhattan, who's going to know? And Miles is like, well, I'd know. He goes, well, come on, man. I feel like I've been swinging around saying quips for 60 years. And then they're at Empire State. They're going into Empire State University coffee shop for the first time. And he's like, yeah, you should consider going here. And Miles is like, if I ever get out of high school, I feel like I've been running late to homeroom for 10 years. Oh my god, thank you for letting us, bringing us back, you know, making the joke of the timeline. That was fucking awesome. So yeah, really cool. I might just have to throw the, I don't know how long this one's gonna run. I might have to throw it to my hold, because right now it's better than either Spider-Man's line right now. Because I'm not happy with what's going on in Miles, and I'm not reading Amazing Spider-Man, so it's just fun. You get the best of Peter, the best of Miles. It's just delightful. And that's what I've read. But, you know, today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
You only say hello so you can say goodbye. These two words must make your life complete. You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
So what are you looking forward to this week? Let's start with Joss.
So we'll go to Marvel first. Sorry, Jeff, I kind of stole your pick too. Black Widow and Hawkeye number one. I picked it really because it was the only thing in a mainstream lineup that I went, oh, I might be interested in that. How about you? Why did you pick it, Jeff?
I picked it because John picked it and I was being a dick and I knew I'd go for it. But apparently you're the biggest dick of all of us, so.
Oh, do I win an award? Do I get to see Batman's dick now for being the biggest dick? That's all I'm saying.
All I'm saying is that's my nickname around the house, and I can't believe you just objectified me that way. And I'm like, try saying please, Jocelyn. No, I honestly, I picked it because I love a good Hawkeye story. Yeah, I mean, that's really it. It's Stephanie Phillips writing it. She's good, you know? So yeah, I'm willing to give it a shot. I would like to, and I know that the relationship comic book wise is different than relationship MCU wise, but I do want to see these two doing a buddy cop film.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that we missed out on in phase four.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It would have been fantastic. So I didn't realize JC had also picked it though. I picked it first.
I picked it at 12:30 last night. God damn it.
Well, you can swear all you want, but I'm usually the one who does it and gets overpicked. So
I know.
I was going to sit here and be calm and know that we all share a hive mind now.
This is
of the highest recommendation is Black Widow and Hawkeye from the team here at the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Yes, but I know Jeff had another mainstream pick.
That's true. DC, Batman Volume 1, Failsafe. Coming out in trade. That's the Chip Zdarsky first run from 125 to 130, I believe. Yeah, so I'm just happy it's coming out in a readable form because I really don't care for hardcovers. I don't. I never have.
You know,
they're super annoying. Anyway, what about you, sir? Where are you at? Let's hear your original picks.
Yeah, my Marvel pick this week is Black Widow and Hawkeye number one. Written by Stephanie Phillips, with Paolo Villanelli as the artist. And, it's my pick because God, when the hell do I ever miss a Black Widow or a Hawkeye miniseries? You know, when do I ever miss a Black Widow or Hawkeye series that turns into a miniseries because nobody else reads them? So,
well, now we can all feel the same pain together.
Exactly.
True. Absolutely.
From DC Comics, Suicide Squad Dream Team number one is coming out. This is written by Nicole Maines from Supergirl, the actress from Supergirl, who played Dreamer in Supergirl, is writing a Dreamer story for Suicide Squad, featuring, you know, because now that Amanda Waller is about to seize power and create a fascist state in in the DC Universe United States, we have Dreamer getting involved in all this, which I think that's awesome. She's being hunted down by the Suicide Squad, from what I can tell. And it looks like a lot of fun. Indie picks wise from IDW, we've got Star Trek, Sons of Star Trek number one from Morgan Hampton, Angel Hernandez. Please God, let this be good. I just got through with Picard's Academy, and I'm like, I want a good mini series on this one. This is kind of an Elseworlds thing where Jake Nog and Alexander Rozhenko all wind up serving together on a starship. They all decide to join Starfleet, which we know Jake never joined Starfleet. Alexander never joined Starfleet, but they all wind up joining Starfleet and serving together. And there's this. Well, basically, they're thrust. It's an alternate universe, but it's the mainstream characters being thrust into this alternate universe by who else? The son of Q from Voyager, I think, was where we met the son of Q. So, yeah, I'm okay. I want to see it. I want to read it. I'm excited. And then this one's interesting. It's Salva Rubio and illustrated by Effa, I think is how you say the name. EFA, Effa. This is Degas and Cassatt. This is the story of Edgar Degas, one of the founders of the Impressionist movement of painting, and his relationship with Mary Cassatt, who was a dancer. And this is basically, this is what comics can be if you get past the capes and tights. And a lot of people are like, well, it's not, there's no real substance to it. Here is Degas and Cassatt, A Solitary Dance, an illustrated story about a famous fine art painter and the woman, the model that he fell in love with. And it explores who they are and what their relationship was. And it's a historical piece. It's going to have kind of an impressionist feel to it all, but also be illustrated. So yeah, I would say if you've got people who are poo-pooing your love of comic books because it's not literature and fine art, show them that, buy this and show it to them. Put it on your coffee table kind of book, you know. This is from NBM. I don't know who they distribute through or if it'll be in comic book stores, but it's one to look for if you can find it.
That sounds really good. Really good.
That it just jumped out at me. I'm like, wait, Degas? I know about Degas. I have studied art. I know about Degas. That's it for let's get into that's it for my mainstream, my indie picks. Let's get into Jeff's indie picks.
Oh hey, it's me. Image Invincible, the Library Volume number 1. Hey, they're making more compendiums. We just got the fucking third hardbound, for Christ's sake. But here we go. At the same time, they're releasing the original trade paperbacks in digest size for whatever fucking thing that's all about. Here we go. New Invincible Library. And then from Dynamite, Thundercats 2. Shut up. I liked it.
Never gonna tell you not to like something. Jeez,
it's Thundercats. It's silly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he called me a ho. Pointed his little sword at me and said, "Ho, thunder, thunder, Thundercats, ho." Okay, I know who you are. Okay.
Yep.
Anyway, how you doing, Jocelyn?
I like it.
Really, after Batman's foreskin, I got no good material. It's all downhill from here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we're going to give you a week to find some more of that material soon. But let's finish up. Dark Horse Comics from Tom King is Helen of Windhorn number 1. Her dad dies. She gets called to her grandfather's enormous and illustrious estate, Windhorn House. Helen wrecks havoc, drunken havoc. upon her arrival. However, her chaotic waves begin to soften as she discovers a lifetime of secrets hiding within the myriad rooms and hallways of the expansive manor. For outside its walls, within its woods, dwell the legendary adventures that once were locked away within her father's stories. So that sounds very supernaturally and like things are going to escape from books.
You know, that's what Bruce Wayne calls his junk. Stately Wayne Manor.
I did not know that, but I'm glad I know that now.
Okay, just throw that out there.
That's fair.
But yeah, sounds good to me. I think I'll pick it up and see where Tom King's going to take me on this ride.
I was about to say, the most important part of this, written by Tom King.
Right?
Yep.
That was what locked it in. I was like, yeah. All right.
Yeah, I know. The cover, when we were doing Picks of the Future, the cover caught my eye and the name of it caught my eye. And then I saw Tom King. I'm like, uh-oh.
Yep.
More books for this giant stack of comics here. Yep, uh-oh.
Yep, and that's it for me.
Awesome. So it occurs to me that, you know, Batman's foreskin, maybe the mutation grown from Batman's foreskin is the Elon Musk Batman.
No, that would be more of a foreskin cheese evolutionary growth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I see Elon Musk more as the byproduct of not washing a dirty dick. You know what I mean?
It's true.
Yeah. It's, you know what? I could go on, and I'm not going to, and you all owe me. Join Patreon, you fuckers, because I just didn't do what I was going to do. And trust me, trust me,
boom.
You're happy about it. Patreon.com/DFNmedia. That's it. I'll take you fuckers hostage.
That's right. Let's see. So now it's time to jump into our TARDISes, jump into May, and give our picks of the future. All right, what's your pick of the future, Joss?
From Image Comics and Rick Remender comes Grommets number 1. It's a miniseries about living in Sacramento in 1984 and being a skateboarder. It's also a coming-of-age story that follows two friends from troubled homes as they navigate their damage in an era when no one cared. Because isn't that the truth about the 80s? How about it you, is. Jeff?
Charles R. Day and Eng Horik Jung are back with a new Joanna Tan book, Gun Honey, Collision Course number 1. I like Jennifer Blood. I like Gun Honey. I am really enjoying this resurgence of crime noir with hot ladies as the protagonist. It's working for me. So I'm going to pick this one up, I think. It's in shops in May. So you can get that one ordered here pretty quick.
Yep.
What about you, sir?
Visionary artist Juni Ba, who did Mobilis and Djila, A West African Story, is coming to DC to do kind of a fairy tale esque retelling of Damian Wayne, called The Boy Wonder. It's going to be a 5-issue miniseries starting in May, written and drawn by Juni Ba, and it is just, it looks glorious. It just looks so, because he just is so creative, and it's Damian Wayne's story just being retold as almost like a fairy tale, you know, princes and kings and queens and all that kind of stuff. I'm down for it.
Nice.
Actually, that sounds interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's the fact that it was, I was like, what's this Boy Wonder? Do we really need another damn Damian Wayne comic? And then I saw that it was Juni Ba who did it. And I said, hang on. Juni Ba did like Marvel Voices, Wakanda Forever. He did some other stuff in the, you know, the Asian stuff in Marvel's the Asian one that Marvel did. He's done a couple of stories there, and it's whimsy. It's beautiful. The work he does, and I'm like, yep, okay, I'm in. Yep. Yep, I'm in. All right. I think that's it. Anything else this week, kids?
We're still doing the fundraiser. Like I said, the situation at home really keeps me from working on it very much. Mm-hmm. But it's still out there, and we're still trying to put this off. I'm going to give it another couple of weeks. But you can get to that at thecomicbookpodcast.com. Just click through on the fundraiser there at the top, right under the hero carousel. I'd appreciate your help with that. I really would. We just want to evolve and grow and make everything better. And that's, unfortunately, at this particular point in the economy, how we're going to have to do it.
Yep.
So for those of you that have helped already, you have no idea how deeply I appreciate it. Especially when it's hard to give when you're watching the give happen slowly.
Right.
And so for those of you that stood up and gave anyway, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I know we're going to tell you to join Patreon in a minute. And if you haven't, you know, you get more value there. But thank you. Thank you so far. And for those of you that are planning on helping us out, thank you as well. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say, hey, join our Patreon squad, patreon.com/dfnmedia, where every week we give you extra content that only you, if you join our Patreon squad, get to hear. This week, we got a discussion on how the collecting market is affecting the reading market in comics right now, and how new readers are finding themselves kind of blocked from reading new comics because of the collecting market. So that's our discussion this week based on an article I found. You got to join us to hear it over at patreon.com/dfanmedia. Until then, I'll say, as I always do, until Peter Parker admits his age, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For Asgard.